Verse 1, Daniel chapter 5 and verse 1. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king, his princes, his wives, his concubines might drink therein. These were vessels that were set aside in days gone past, consecrated to the service of Jehovah, the King of Kings. And now one of those earthly kings is in possession of them and is using them in the party that he's throwing with his staff. Verse number 3, then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and they praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. I just want to ask you a question this morning. Aren't you glad that you don't serve a god of gold, a god of silver, a god of brass, a god of iron, a god of wood, or a god of stone? For what can wood do for you? What can stone do for you? What can silver do for you? What can gold do for you? Oh, for sure, there's a little bit that you can do with those things, but they will never deliver you. And these foolish men, in their pride, are taking the vessels of the only true God, drinking from them while praising things that were made by that God and honoring them as gods. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. So are you reading carefully? You getting the picture in your mind? The fingers of a man's hand show up and write on the wall. And the king sees the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed. He's in a party. They're having a good time. They're praising their gods. But something happens that he's not in control of. Something happens that's unexpected. And his countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed. I'll just leave you to figure that one out. And his knees smote the one against another. Then the king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Men are willing to pay handsome prices to give up authority if they can have someone interpret the messages that God has given in such a way that will set them at ease again. He was at ease moments ago. Now he's severely troubled and he wants to be set at ease again. And he's willing to pay handsomely for somebody who will interpret what he is reading or what has been written in such a way that he can be set at ease. Make no mistake about it. There are prophets and preachers and interpreters of the Word of God that will be willing to interpret it in a way that will set your heart at ease. But is that what you really want? Let's read on. Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen by reason of the words of the king and his lords came into the banquet house. I don't know for sure. She could have just stepped out for a moment, but it could also be that she had the grace not to be there, chose not to be there. But anyway, she wasn't there. Now she comes in and she speaks to the king and says, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Then was Daniel brought in before the king. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, Art thou that Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof, but they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I've heard of thee that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now, if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, Let thy gifts be to thyself and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, and right here is the beginning of the preaching of a sermon. Here is a courageous man who is going to stand before the king in whose power, in whose tongue is the power of life and death, and he's going to bring a sharp illustration of the folly of his father, the king's father, and then rebuke the king for not paying attention to the example of his father, to the folly of his father, before he tells him what the message says. O thou king, the most high God, verse 18, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slew. And whom he would, he kept alive. And whom he would, he set up. And whom he would, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men. And his heart was made like the beasts. And his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with the grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. And they have brought the vessels of his house before thee. And thou and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and of gold, of brass, of iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified? Then was the part of the hand sent from him, that is from God, and this writing was written. And now he gives the interpretation. And this is the writing that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Many, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. And by the way, notice that that is repeated twice. There's no mistaking. God is finished with your kingdom. This is not a mistake. God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tickle, verse 27, tickle. Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Upharsin or Perez, verse 28. Thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. So here's the message. Did you get it? God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting or lacking, and therefore thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Verse 29. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. It is not stated for us at the end of the chapter, but it is surely implied that the king no longer is, his knees are no longer smiting together. He's no longer greatly troubled. He hears the interpretation, which is not a positive one, which is a very negative one concerning his own life and his own kingdom. And he immediately responds by promoting Daniel. Turns his attention away from what was troubling him now that he has the interpretation. So here's the point I want to make, and this is where I want to dwell for a few moments this morning. What sets your knees a-knocking? Or what ought to set your knees a-knocking? I see in the passage a man whose knees are knocking because he sees something mysterious. He sees something that he cannot understand or does not understand. He sees something that's out of his control. He's a man of power, a man of influence. He's a man of wisdom. He's a man who rules. And now something has happened and he's not in control and he's upset. He knows that this is not usual. It's unusual. And his attention is focused on learning what it means. And all the while he's troubled. And when the guys that he brings in to tell him what it means can't answer him, then the scripture says he's greatly troubled. His anxiety increases. When the message, however, which is clear, and the writing is made clear, where is his fear now? What makes you tremble? What makes your knees knock together? What is it that captivates your attention? It would have been to his advantage if his knees would have trembled when he heard the message rather than when he saw the hand. What about you? Does the message of God's word, does the warning of God's word, do the principles of God's word, the commandments of God's word, the statutes of God's word, when you hear them read, And they declare to you the power of Almighty God and His judgment and His knowledge of your specific life and what is the result of the path you choose to take, is that what causes you to tremble? It ought to be, rather than merely the fingers of the hand. We as human beings tend to be fascinated by what we can't understand, fascinated by those things that are out of the norm, those things that are inexplicable and unexplainable. And it hardly captures our attention when we hear the voice of Almighty God speak regarding our lives. And it ought not so to be. I encourage you to be a man or a woman who trembles at the voice of God. Throughout the pages of Scripture, God talks about those who tremble at His word, those who are brought under conviction, those who respond in humility, those who are broken, those who are troubled by truth and want to be made right with God. And it would have been a wonderful thing if the knees of Belshazzar would have knocked together so severely that he would not be able to stand, and he would have been hearing the message fallen before Daniel and before the God of whom Daniel speaks, and the God who has sent the hand to write the message on the wall. Would have been wonderful if he would have bowed and fallen and refused to stand any longer and sought the mercy of Almighty God. God sent a messenger one day to Nineveh, and an entire city heard the interpretation of the message, and the message was that God's judgment was about to fall, and all of them began to fast and began to pray and began to seek the Lord, and the Lord repented him of the evil that he thought to do to them. But Belshazzar stops his trembling now that he knows this was the hand of God, now that he has the interpretation, and he goes on his way, but he doesn't survive the night. He dies before the next day dawns. I want to ask you a question. What makes your knees knock? What causes you to tremble? The circumstances of your life? The stock market rising or falling? The loss of a job? The loss of a loved one? Some unexpected event? Some inexplicable event? Or the written words of the living God? You know, the fingers of a man's hand have been the instrument God has used throughout the centuries to write His message and to write truth to mankind. His fingers, if you'll allow me to use the imagery, it was His hands that made the heavens. He stretched forth the heavens with His hands, and He laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens declare the glory of God. So God has made in creation at the work of His hands. He has made a clearer message about who He is, His power, and His excellence. And then God took His finger and wrote on tables of stone the Ten Commandments, and wrote His law and His will that was to govern the lives of man. And then God has taken and made or created a body of flesh in which He dwelt for 33 years on earth. And those hands were there to reveal God, to teach man the way of God, and to show man the wisdom of God. And yet men tremble at other things rather than the revelation of Almighty God. Now, I'm going to give you three thoughts in just a moment that rise out of this trembling, but I want to draw your attention to something else that I saw as I read this passage. Notice in verse 11 and 12, when the queen comes into the king, who's greatly troubled by what he does not understand, she says to him, "There is a man in the kingdom." And I want you to stop at the fourth word, "There is a man." There is a man. God had a message for Belshazzar, and God has a message for your family, and God has a message for your community, and God has a message for the people that you work with, and God has a message for your province, and God has a message for your country, and God has a message for the world, and it's a message that they need to hear. It's a message that God weighs the spirits of man, and God holds man accountable for what he does and what he says, and that every man will stand before God in judgment. And I wonder, is there a man in your family? Is there a man in at your place of employment? Is there a man in your province? Is there a man in the country? Now, there is a man, she said, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. That was her interpretation. But when she explains it, we understand whose spirit it really was. She said, "In the days of thy father, light." Where does light come from? God. God said, "Let there be light." He is called the Father of lights. In the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him. There's a man who has light. There's a man who knows the truth. There's a man who has wisdom and understanding from God. And let him be called, and he will show you the interpretation. The world is crying out. Your family is crying out. Your community is crying out. Your place of employment is crying out for somebody who can interpret what God is doing in the world, who can understand who God is and can know the message of God. But is there a man? It says about him that he was brought into the king because in verse 12 there was an excellent spirit in him. An excellent spirit. What kind of spirit was found in him? When we read the book of Daniel, we find first of all that he was a man in submission to authority. He knew how to accept his place. He didn't rebel against or fight against those who were in authority over him. He was a man who purposed to be clean. He refused to defile himself with the king's meat. He was a man who was a man of prayer. When he found out that King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream and he was called upon to give the interpretation, he went to his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, said, "Here's what the king wants me to do, and you and I, you need to join me in prayer and asking God to give us understanding in this matter so that I can reveal to him the dream and spare the lives of those who are going to die if he doesn't get the interpretation." He was a man of prayer. And then as we read on in chapter 2, he's a man of thanksgiving for God answering his prayer. We've already seen in this passage, he's a man of courage who will stand before the king and tell the truth and not pull any punches. He was a man of conviction. And I say to you, we need some people today who will speak the truth, who will stand, who will be undefiled, who are determined to live for God, who know how to be in submission to authority, who know how to be meek and quiet in spirit, and yet firm in conviction. Men who the world takes notice of, and when there is something they don't understand or can't explain, they will call upon us. Is there such a man? Will you be the one? Is there somebody in this room that God has raised up and can count upon to reveal the truth of what he's doing in the world to those who cannot interpret it by the wisdom of their flesh? The world needs help with child rearing, with addictions, with finances, and all the different areas of life. They need help. And God has given to you and to me the answers to those needs. He's given us wisdom. Those people who have those needs go to the wisdom of the world. They go to the bookstore and they find a book on parenting and they find a book on addictions and they find a book on finances and they find a book on marriage and all of those things, and they're looking for someone to help them. But like the soothsayers and the magicians that are called in, all the wisdom of the world is foolishness, and God is determined for it to be so. Is there a man who knows God, who walks with God, who knows the Word of God, who can interpret the things that are going on in the lives of people and help them to know the truth of God? What sets your knees a-knocking? Let me give you three thoughts and I'll be done. Number one, from what happens in the life of Belshazzar, I draw this conclusion. There is a hand silently writing our history. The hand wrote, "You have been weighed in the balances and are found wanting, and thy kingdom is at an end." It's finished. What God was saying to Belshazzar, or what we learned by that, is that God knew what was going on in the sum total of Belshazzar's life. His thoughts, his deeds, his works, his plans, his motivations. God knew it all. Can I tell you something that ought not to surprise you? People matter to their Creator. If you're a creator of anything, a work of art or some structure or whatever God has blessed you with a talent to create, you create something, usually that matters to you. And you care about it. And you take care of it because it's your creation. God cares about his people. Belshazzar may not be a Jew. He may not be one of the sons of Abraham, but he still is a human being made in the image of God. He's God's created being. And God was looking at his life, and God was aware of what was going on in his life. And there was a hand silently writing his history. And there is a hand silently writing your history. Because you matter to the Creator. In Revelation chapter 20, when John shares with us what he sees at the throne of God, he sees the dead, small and great, standing before God. And he said the books, plural, the books were opened. And the dead were judged out of the things written in the books. Now, I'm going to take time to speak to you. I could give you all kinds of ideas on what the books are, but suffice it to say that God writes a record or keeps a record. It may be that the book is just the book of your memory, your conscious memory, and God just opens it up and reveals everything that's been in your mind. But there is a record of your life that will be opened at the judgment. Now, the Bible says there was another book open. So there were the books, plural, but another book. Now that book is called the Book of Life. And the dead were judged out of the things written in the books. And then it says in Revelation chapter 20, whosoever's name was not found written in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. So the indication is that God keeps a record. And if you're saved, your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And no matter what the books say about you, the final say is whether or not your name is in the Book of Life. But there is a hand writing your history. We sing a song about the old account being settled. And in the song, the songwriter says, the old account was large and growing every day, for I was always sinning and never sought to pay. God is keeping an account. He's writing a record. We need to tell men and women. We need to reveal to them as God revealed to Belshazzar, I know your life. I know your thoughts. I know your deeds. You are praising gods of material substance, and the God who gives you breath, and the God who determines your ways and who gave you the throne, you are not glorifying him. God knows. Number two, there is a hand writing our history. Number two, one day, what is written will confront us. What is written down will confront us. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Belshazzar, everything about your life has been put in the scale of God's divine judgment. And you now must face the accounting for who you are and what you have done. One day, the handwriting will confront us. So we learn from Revelation chapter 20. And finally, number three, the only way that we can escape the judgment meted out to Belshazzar on this night is to have the record that's in the books against us blotted out. Go with me, please, to Colossians chapter 2 in the New Testament. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 14. Colossians 2 and verse number 14. I'm going to begin in verse 13, and then we'll read verse 14. Colossians 2, verse 13. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he, that is God, quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, watch, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. The way of escaping the sure and certain accountability before the judgment seat of Almighty God is to stand at the cross of Calvary, to bend your knee, to bow your heart, and to submit to Him as a sinner, and put your faith and trust in the substitutionary work of the Lord Jesus, and all of the law, and all of the ordinances, and all of the trespasses, and all of the sins that have been recorded in your life are taken out of the way, having been nailed to his cross. I fear for this generation because men tremble at all kinds of things that they're out of control, that seem to be out of their control, not realizing the truth that they're all under God's control. They tremble at things they don't understand, and yet they yawn and walk away with total indifference to the words of living God. Is that you? I hope not. What sets your knees a-knocking? It ought to be the Word of God. It ought to be, "Thus saith the Lord." Blessed is the man that fears the Lord and that keeps his commandments. Fear God, the Bible says, and keep his commandments, for out of that are all the issues of life. When God speaks, man needs to listen. When God speaks, we ought to be standing at attention. When God renders his judgment in our lives, that ought to set our knees a-knocking and cause us to fall before a holy and almighty and righteous God in humility and repentance. Is there anybody in this room upon whom others may call when their knees are knocking, when they have nowhere else to turn, when they don't know how to interpret it, when they don't know what to do? Is there anyone who is known to have wisdom, to have joy, to be at peace, who is known to be in touch with God, who has an answer, to whom they may turn? Tragically, Belshazzar had such a man. And as far as I know, Belshazzar, it made no difference in his life. He stopped trembling when he understood what was happening. But he didn't repent. And that night, as God said, he lost his kingdom and he lost his life. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven,